is Mike Cherkis and
Jennifer Meadows.
Interviewing Mr. Lloyd Kettler, and the date is May
17th,
1988. Do you know any stories about Chesney? I mean, I hear that you're a long story teller.
Stories?
Yeah, or just maybe a story that your people used to tell to scare each other. Maybe something. Jimmy, like a ghost story.
I have no ghost stories.
No?
No, nothing ghost.
No.
Just like, you know, when people are just sitting around and...
Is there a story you guys used to tell him?
Yeah, something that happened.
My dad used to tell about a bicycle rider here in Chesaning. Mm-hmm. His name was Chapman. George Chapman. And he was a good bicycle rider. And on certain days they would have, like 4th of July or Labor Day, they'd have gatherings and then races. Bicycle races was one, and this man was a very good bicycle rider. He was riding one of the high wheel bicycles. The high wheel in front, a little wheel behind. And it started at the depot, race to the bridge. As he approached Manning's Corners, you'll see Manning's, where Manning store is, that corner.
My dad owns that store now. My dad's Tom Jurekas.
Oh, Jurekas.
Yeah.
Jurekas. Is that what you said, Jurekas?
No, it's not Jurekas, it's Jurekas. My dad is Tom.
Jurekas.
Oh, my grandpa's R.J.
As he approached, well, let's go back a bit. There were sidewalks across the street. The streets were gravel. And the sidewalks was raised. See? He was leaning forward and he was leading the pack, as they would say. And that front wheel struck that. And unbeknownst to him, he was too far ahead, and he went over the handlebars. And as my dad used to say, it almost killed him. That's a true story.
That's true?
Yes. But I haven't anything superstitious, unless you want to bring up something. I don't believe I can.
Well, Jennifer has some questions, if you can.
Well, let's have a question.
Let's see. I'll just ask you if you believe in any of this stuff, and then if anything like sparks something, just tell me about
maybe
it.
Maybe someone else believed in them.
Or if you knew someone that was really superstitious, if you could tell me about it.
I have nothing in superstition. I don't believe in superstition.
Okay, the ones that I found were throwing salt over the shoulder, or the unlucky number 13, knocking on wood, lucky four-leaf clover, lucky horseshoe, breaking a mirror is 7 years bad luck, opening an umbrella indoors, black cats, lucky rabbit's foot, aversion to red hair, and blue for boys and pink for girls.
Nothing to offer there, nothing whatsoever.
I have a question about this, the bike race. Do you know when that was?
That was before 1900.
What's the depot?
Depot or depot?
Yeah, no, I mean, where is it in Chesaning?
It's gone.
Do you know where, like, what's
the... Yes, it's where the co-op silos are.
Oh, right, okay, by the train tracks.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is the bridge, you mean the one right there by
the bridge? The bridge, only bridge you have, yes. I have been told that the building to the north of 57, as you just before you cross the tracks, the building, that old building down, as you can see, it's just a couple hundred feet from the roadway, from the highway street, was the depot, or depot, whichever you want to call it. But it's hard for me to believe that that was the original depot, and it's set on the south side of the tracks. And it was moved to where it is now and converted into a freight office, we'll call it. And all freight coming into Chesington. This isn't superstition at all. This is...
Yeah, we know.
It's okay.
And the new one was built. And it was a nice one. It was torn down before your day. It's too bad. I don't know. Flushing has one.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting there. Mm-hmm. Well, this one was similar to that in size.
That's called the depot, isn't it?
Yes.
Flushing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I never rode the trains. They were four or five times at most. Mother would want to go shopping, take the train, go to Owosso.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, or Saginaw. Usually Owosso. For a new winter coat. Yes. So we would come from the farm, which is 5.5 miles south and east of Chesney, still in Chesney, just on the town line, on the township line, and put the horse up at horse and buggy at Colbert's 10-cent barn. That's right across from Conklin's barbershop. The Lost Joe Conklin's barbershop?
Is that next to the hardware store?
It's behind it.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Put the horse up there, and for 10 cents, you leave your horse, they would take your horse off the buggy, put the horse inside, wintertime that is, see. It and you would walk to the depot and catch the train. On the way back, we reverse everything and go back out 5.5 miles.
So was 10 cents like back then, was that a lot? Or was that sort of cheap? Was 10 cents sort of cheap back then?
Well, yes, it was cheap. Yes, yes.
So it was all horse and buggies then?
Yes.
At that time?
Yes, mostly. Mostly.
So the automobile came, that's when the train stopped.
Yes, the automotive business stopped the trains, that's true. The passenger trains, that is, the freights ran. Mm-hmm. Passenger trains were still running in 32. I can still remember when I was married in 32. I could hear the train stop in Oakley before I got up in the morning. I heard it stop in Oakley. Take off, stop in Chesney, take off,
Where did you live? Did you live close to Oakley?
I lived in Chesney one of the first 2.5 years. The corner of Lyon Street and Brady Street. The southeast corner, there's a large house. I believe it still has two renters in it. Double. It was a double. A school teacher lived on the other side. Lester Mayo, he was a science teacher in the old school that they just recently tore down.
Lyon Street and Brady?
Lyon Street, he lived in the north side of it, and we lived in the south.
Oh, what color is that house?
I don't know. But it's a large house.
Because we lived on Lyon and Brady, and we had an apartment. Our house is blue now. It's our old house. I'm saying we lived on the corner of Lyon and Brady.
You did?
Yeah.
On which corner?
I'm not good at that. I wouldn't know. Oh, I'm sorry. We lived on Lyon and Brady and Pine Street. That's
what
it was.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mistake.
You're just a block away is all. Well, where do we go from there?
Do you know of anyone who would know that? Is there anyone you know that used to tell some ghost stories or something that I might be able to talk to?
I'd have to think that out. Nothing here in Ghost that I have ever heard in Chesaning.
Mm-hmm. Anywhere out of town? Or just a story. It doesn't even have to do with anything. Chesaning can be just a ghost story.
No more than we see on TV. Or they'll show a person walking right through a wall, for instance. I don't know how they do it, but they do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there any houses that were thought to be haunted? Interesting.
None at all. I know.
None?
No. You're too small.
I guess so. Do you have any more questions?
No. Uh-uh.
You don't know of any superstitious people?
I know no superstitious people in Chesaning.
Is there anyone doing trains in our class?
I'd have to look.
You'd be real good for trains.
Yeah,
really good. So then Chesaning, because my topic was on the buildings of Chesaning. That would have been much easier. And she gave me ghosts.
Buildings, yes.
I was thinking, do you know the street signs in Chesaning? I mean, just the streets. Do you know what they're, is there any like, named after certain people?
Oh, yes.
They're all named after.
Mason Street. Lyman Street is the only street that runs straight.
Yeah.
For its entire length, practically.
Oh, really?
It changes where you jog before you get to the Deep Packing Company. Changes back to McKeegan. Am I wrong there? No, Sharon. Sharon, because I live on Sharon Road.
Oh, you live on Sharon?
Miles south of the light.
Do you live, you know where Jim Johnston lives?
Yes.
You live near them?
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Back this way.
Do you live after them? After you go through the light? Or before them?
After you leave the light and make that curve,
yeah.
I believe, the fourth house.
Do you live on by Teals or Adams's?
No. You know where Max Decker lives? Art Ransel? Ed Kulanik?
Kulanik.
Funeral
home?
No. Jewel lives?
New Rich?
No. I
don't know where he lives either.
Where do you live?
We live, I don't know if you know Marty Horger. Do you know Marty?
Yes, yes.
Well, we live where they used to live. They have a ranch. Now they have a real nice big house out there.
McKeegan.
Yeah, but we live where they used to live. They have a brick ranch.
Mm-hmm. You should get around more.
I guess so. I just now got my license.
I'm a mile and 2 blocks south of the light. 1 mile. In 2 blocks.
Are you before the cemetery?
Oh yes, before either cemetery, either one. The big cemetery, I took care of that for 49 years.
Oh, you took care of the cemetery?
Yes.
Is there anything that went strange?
Well, once I was filling the grave, and it was frosty weather, and it was a wooden box. They don't allow wooden boxes anymore. I had lowered the casket and the wooden box and the people had gone and I was filling it. And I stopped to rest a bit and I heard 3 times, just like that. But it was just frozen clods falling in the grave and hitting the side of the box. Yeah.
Why don't they allow wooden boxes anymore?
Why?
Why?
Because they cave in after 2 or 3 years, they came in, and then the sexton has to wheel dirt in and fill them.
Oh,
see? So it has to be a concrete box. It doesn't have to be a vault. Not an actual, they are 99% vaults, yes. But it can be just a cement box, a shape, size of this table.
No longer.
38 by 7 foot 8 is the size to dig for vault. And when that caves in, of course, that takes several wheelbarrow loads of dirt. And a couple hours to wheel it in, fill it, then you've got dirt for your lawnmower to run through. Or run around, see. So they outlawed wooden boxes. I guess, I don't know about other cemeteries. I mean, Oakley, for instance, I don't know about that. They aren't probably so particular. But here in this cemetery, and I don't know about the Catholic cemetery either. But I know in Wildwood, that's the name of the big cemetery, both sides of the...
Is Catholic cemetery that one right before the curve?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And now they have bought land up next to the other cemetery. You go up that side road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From my grandma's
name. Yeah. And our present sexton, Mike Novak, cement man, Novak.
That's his name, but...
Cement sidewalks, anything in cement. He's a good cement man, cement worker. Has taken care of the Catholic Cemetery, the Oakley Cemetery, Jessamy, and I believe he's trying to get Nickel Grove.
Mike Novak?
Mike Novak.
Is he N-O-V-A-K?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd care to have that made known.
Oh, okay. That's okay. I was just going to call him and ask him if he wanted to interview or something.
Yes. Yes. He's a good man. He's a good man. Yes, for an interview, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if we're going to be using names in our book, Jim, so...
Yeah.
If we do, would it be okay if we used your name in it?
Well, yes, sure.
Would it be okay?
Yes.
Didn't you ever get scared working in a cemetery?
What's that?
Didn't you ever get scared working in a cemetery?
No. Although I like machinery. I love machinery. You know, I got 49 years in the cemetery. Figure that out. When my family, moved from the 5.5 miles out on Gasper Road, moved into Parshaburg, Bill Sexton, he was up in years. He died. He died that night. And his house burned. And the records all burned. So they went by for a month and advertised in the Argus for a sexton. And Dad took it over. But I was the one that did the work. 49 years.
So when did you stop? When did you stop?
Golly, I had a 69 Chevrolet. That's what I go by.
Yeah.
49 years after 1921 is when we started. 1921. Did you think I would have stories to tell? Cemetery story, but aside from that one, I took up bodies, yes. I've been buried 44 years as the oldest. And the little mustache fell off. And this fad about the hair growing.
Yeah.
That isn't so. It doesn't. When you're dead, you're dead. You know, they say your hair keeps on growing, goes all down your back.
And when you die?
Yes.
And it doesn't?
No. And a collar button. Bow tie, I guess. No. Well, yes, it could be. Could have been a bow tie. Hand tied, of course. Mm-hmm. It's still shiny.
After you.
After 40, after, four, after, how many years was it? 25 years, very near.
And why did you, how did you see him? Did you have to dig him back up for some reason?
We shipped him out to Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh, okay.
Put him in a wooden box with a metal liner in it. the tinsmith, the name you wouldn't recognize anyway, brought the box out, and the undertaker, two undertakers, and this tinsmith, my dad and myself. We did the digging, dad and I, dug down, uncovered him, got a shawl under his clothing. He got all out of it. Of course, his leg bones fell out. then the tinsmiths soldered the top on. It had to be what they call hermetically sealed. A box is shipping on railroad.
Mm-hmm.
Shipping on railroad. And the present sexton doesn't know it, but there was a mudslide here 4 years ago. We had a constant rain, and a portion of a side hill slid down into the river. And it was right next to this where I took up this Warren Kinch, his name was. Warren Kinch, K-I-N-C-H. And he doesn't know it to this day, but there's nothing buried in there.
Yeah.
And he took part of the cemetery fence down so trucks could back in with dirt and the concrete chunks.
Are the stones still there?
Stone is still there.
The bodies?
Body's gone. I never told him. Now that, I don't know.
Yeah, slid into the river or something?
Slid into the river and floating, washed away. And 7 years ago, seven, eight years ago, at least that, we had a constant rain. And sure enough, that bank is almost straight down there. A portion of it slid out right next to this grave. And I don't know, he probably thinks he's preserving that grave. It's in Des Moines, Iowa. Only room for three on it.
On that ledge or whatever?
There's only room for three, and then the riverbank comes. Right? Almost straight down.
Do you know how many people are buried in that cemetery? Or when you quit, at least?
You almost got a choke there. How many people are buried? No, I don't. But I buried about 40, 45 a year. For, say, 50 years, 5 times 4 would be 2,000, wouldn't it? If you just rough figures, around 2,000 roughly. Some went to Mausoleum, of course. Some did. One day a car drove in, drove around, back, up. I was working over here and stopped, called me over. How many dead people are in the cemetery? I know the answer to that one already. They're all dead.
What's it like in that mausoleum? Have you ever been in it?
Oh, yes. I made the burials in there for 49 years. They closed it after I left. But the township has...
They don't use it now?
No. Township has no connection with that building. And I've tried to tell them that. But they go ahead and put up a placard, a signboard on the window. Nobody's allowed in it for fear of falling pieces, getting hurt. There was a mausoleum association along in 1914, it's on the front, it's 14, 1914 when it was built, when it was finished, 1914. And I buried in it right along. The first 2 years they gave my dad $50 for sweeping it out every week or so.
$50
a year.
$50 a year?
A year.
I'm thinking a week.
A year. The cemetery salary was $50 a month. Dad went to the first meeting. No. After a couple of years, he went to a meeting, a township board meeting, and he asked for $75 a month. And they misunderstood him. So a lawyer here by the name of Brainerd, Clarence Brainerd. Did I make a motion to give Mr. Kettler $85 a day? Dad didn't say anything.
So did he? Did he get it?
Yes, he got it.
Oh, he did.
$85 for years and years and years. Then along comes the depression. The 30. 28, 29 depression. And they cut that back down to $62.50. I don't know, 50 cents or so. But I was it then. I had taken over. I was only 16, you see, when I started there. I was too young to do business with people and buying lots, see, and collecting money and handling money. I was too young for that, but I wasn't too young to. I was 6'2" when I left eighth grade.
6'2".
What?
I have a picture of the last day of school children. It runs along, I'm on the end. Well, anyway, we had a man here by the name of Boltner. And he was born and lived in Civil War times. And I would go and ask for more money, of course, $62.50. I got married in 32 on $62.50 a month. In 32 I got married. And this man, Volkmer, says, how much are you getting now? He said, $62.50. You're getting too much now, he says.
But he just kept it at $62.50.
But it stayed at $62.50 for quite some time. And the highest it got was $2.25 a month.
$2.25 or $200?
$2.25 a month, yes.
That's not very high.
Not when they're making $100 a day. Of course, a dollar then was like 20 now. Same thing. Mm. We bought 10 gallons of gasoline for a dollar. Yes.
Did the depression change the way people were buried?
Not too much, no. $350 bought a good oak casket.
How much does those go by now?
Oh, goodness, they go over 3,000. Oh. You're lucky if you can get by at 3,000. I plan to be cremated. I really do. Wife, and no service. I don't want any service at all. Mm-hmm. I can't see where that does any good. You're dead. Oh, well. Any questions? I haven't given you any information that you've asked for, I know.
That's okay. This book is going to be compiled of all these different things. This will go towards another part of the book.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's other people doing different topics and they could use the tape
just
as well.
First, power lawnmower, which everybody has now, about everybody has a power lawnmower, was purchased in 25 for $295.
$295.
Mm-hmm. Our lawnmower.
Is that more than they are now?
Yeah, you can pay that for a hand push or self-propelled. This is self-propelled, and you walked. It was only 27 inches wide with this table. That meant a lot of walking.
But it was electric.
It was gasoline.
Yes, that's what I meant. Electric.
And I used that lawnmower from 25 to 36. And I got a 6-foot cut.
Just off it? You can make a 6-foot
cut? No. It was worn out in 11 years. Years, see. It was worn. I could go on from there, but I don't want to be damaging to the present sexton on new machinery that they pay for and how often they buy. And once put on 3 belts in a week's time. at $18 per belt. Because he had it on loan. That other man was 27 years old for 10 million years, 25 to 36. And then I got $25 for it. And I wanted to, gee, I wish I'd have kept it. Mm-hmm. Gee, whiz. It would have been a good parade article.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's true, but first power lawnmower. But a man that sold it, he says, I sold a big one so close to bedrock, without making much noise. He says, I ought to have your old one. Well, I gave him the old one.
Oh, you didn't keep it?
I didn't keep it, no. I wish I had.
Do you know anything about that museum in town? Do you know that museum?
Yes.
Are you part of that?
Yes, I'm a member of it. Uh-huh. Not a very good member, but I have a phonograph ready to give. I imagine they'll be swamped with phonographs, so it's like, no, it was my wife's father's, purchased in 1912 in Chicago. My wife's father was an Agnew, and he was an architectural engineer. Good job.
Is he related to that?
Yes.
Architect?
Mm. Phil? Related to the Agnews, Phil. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Be an uncle, or a great uncle.
Yeah.
Great uncle, I guess, yeah. And he purchased this phonograph in Chicago, and nobody touched it but himself. It has a lock. It stands about so high. It's not a huge one, but it is a cabinet job with a lid that lifts up. And I have restored it like me. And I have a catalog of Victor Records, 1915, and a letter from the company to Mr. Agnew, my father-in-law. He's been dead now. at least 15 years, and the letter is dated, I believe, 1914 or 15, telling of records they had on hand that he might be interested in to call and listen.
Oh, okay.
But he retired. Of course, he retired on your, in those days you retired on your own backlog, see, your own, whatever you acquired and piled up during your life's work. Like the farmers here would get an 80-acre farm, pay for it, sell it for $5,000, $7,000, and get his name, retire, see. Well, Mr. Agnew, father-in-law, moved into halfway between Wausau and Corunna, and put the phonograph in the basement. He'd play it once in a while. Well, the finish got bad on it. Not up to snuff, you know. So when he died, his stepmother, his first wife, my wife's mother, died. Well, this gets complicated. When my wife was 6-7 months old, her mother died. And he married again, shortly. And it didn't work out at all. Not at all. She couldn't live. There were two girls. One made it by living on the farm, the Wagner farm, out the Peat Road. And she finally graduated from high school. My wife graduated from the building you tore down. She was valedictorian. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
She regrets how she went through. She just loved it. It was so easy for her. Everything was so easy. She read every book in the library. Of course, the library loved it. No. But anyway, this mother-in-law gave the phonograph to Helen, my wife, and I went and got it in the truck, and I refinished it all over. Inside, as you lift the lid, is just like new, and the outside looks like new now.
Does it work?
Yes, works perfectly. Perfect. But you don't... No. I have sound in my shop. I have a system that we took out of the house. We paid plenty for the speaker. $365 for the speaker alone. We took it out of the house and put in some we paid $600 for a piece. And $100 for each one in the farther corner. So we have four. Well, anyway, on the turntable, this phonograph, 12-inch, I recovered that with green felt. You pick it up, it looks like new. On there is a card donating it to the historic museum. And tells it was belonged to Helm's father and so forth and so on. The phonograph. As I say, they're probably really swamped with phonographs.
Yeah, probably not as nice as yours if it's as nice as you say.
I'd like to see my name there. Mm-hmm. I would. Of course, they'll change their equipment, their exhibits, I suppose, like any museum does. Change them around.
June, this is supposed to open.
Golly, it goes slow, although we're working on it. I was by the other day and they're working on it. An uncle of mine lived there in about 1912. He lived in that house. An uncle and my folks, my older brother and myself, one Sunday went there for dinner. We used to go more than we do now. I still remember the train coming from St. Charles through, whistle blowing. The big plant wasn't there then. It was all wide open. Well, any questions? I haven't helped you one bit.
I don't know. You've helped, just not my topic, but it's everyone else's topic, and a lot of people are having trouble with this. Yours will be real good for them. I guess, I was just wondering, out of that historical society, is there anyone there, do you know, that I might want to talk to?
Mrs. Scott is pretty good.
Mrs. Scott?
Scott. First name, it's away from me. So there's up toward the Big Rock Elementary School. So there's on that street on the left side, one of those houses.
After the light?
Yeah, after the light. Mm-hmm. Okay. She's got a good memory.
We have a list of names. She might be on it. Mm-hmm. You don't know her first name?
Esther.
Esther Scott.
Esther Scott. Mm-hmm. When you get to be my age, 83, I'm 83. Mm-hmm. You forget names. Mm-hmm. They won't come out. They just won't come out. But she's good. It was her relatives. It was the Walker funeral home. Mm-hmm. The Walker, just Walker.
Not the Martin.
No, that was before Martin. Her relatives ran a funeral home for many years.
Her parents, is that what you said? Or her relatives?
Her relatives, okay. Relatives, yes.
And she might know some.
Yes, she would be a good one. Mm-hmm. And she might have some mystery stories too.
Okay.
She might, now that you... Like I say, if you just ask a few questions, it might come through.
Well, I don't know of any ghost houses in Chesney. I guess she doesn't want to know ghosts, but just like maybe when you were children, you were. But I know there's one house. I'm trying to think of what it is. When we were kids, we just didn't go near it because it's sort of a scary looking house. But I think like every town has at least one house that.
Yes. As far as that goes, the Dr. Stewart house, the single on Main Street, wall spindles around it.
Uh-huh.
That's...
Is it the teddy bear place or something?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so. That doesn't look too pleasant to me. For me, no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yet he built it when out of his own mind, I guess. Doctor. Dr. Stewart. He brought me into this world.
Okay.
Yeah.
The house that... Do you know where the Hanenbergs live now?
Mm-hmm.
Our principal, Cheryl Hanenberg. They bought the house on the corner by IG. Some people used to live there. I'm trying to think of their names. It's a big gray house. It's real nice.
First house?
Yep.
Yeah.
Right there in the corner.
Cheryl. On the corner.
Uh-huh.
There isn't anything on the corner.
It's...
IGA.
Yeah, that's the back of IGA. Here's the parking lot.
Yeah.
Here's IGA.
Yeah.
You take that road and go that way a little, and then there's that road that goes like that, sort of.
Yeah.
There's a house right there in the corner.
Oh.
It's real big. It's real nice.
I knew that was Manuel Fess.
I think that was the last thing. But I heard that the wife, she used to like build rooms under that house that didn't...
Oh, well, you've got Schaefer.
Schaefer, that was it.
Schaefer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was smart.
She was too smart.
She got the band going, the high school band here.
Oh.
Yeah. She had a band here. I played trombone.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Of about 20 men.
All men?
All men. It was all adults, see.
Oh.
We had one man from St. Charles, Thorsby, George Thorsby. He played cornet. Cornet, not trumpet. Yeah, oh boy, you couldn't get trumpet down now. No. Cornet. And right along, the Depression hit, 28, 29, and two men circulated petitions, and got us off of the tax. We were on the tax, from the tax roll. The band? Yes. Yeah. We played... First night we would say the first night we'd play on Manning's corner.
Mm-hmm.
The next night the bank, the old bank, Greenfelder corner. The next night the third, the theater.
Just
the theater.
Used to be a theater.
Yes, that corner. And ran long up into 29. They circulated this petition and got us voted out. But Mrs. Schaefer took the director right up to the high school. Practically, not literally, but got him interested and got a band started in the high school, in the old high school, and they tore down.
Mm-hmm.
And they played the next year. Because that was on taxpayers' money too, but it was very small. It was just his salary.
Were they, wasn't the Schaefer sort of wealthy?
Well, he was the bank president for years. Bank president or chairman of the board, which